The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Today, an interesting question about Calvinism and the you in TULIP, unconditional election. If it is so that God only chooses a limited and relatively small number of people for eternal salvation, then why would you risk having children? This question came to us and we want to think about this today, here on Grace in Focus. Thank you, friend, for joining us. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us at faithalone.org. You'll find information about our subscription-free magazine and about our conferences. Our national conference is coming up this next May. We hope you'll plan to join us May 2025. Find out more about it at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here is Ken Yates along with Catherine Wright.
Well, we're continuing trying to answer questions that were sent in by our listeners. And Jack sent in a question. I don't think I've ever heard this asked this way. He's dealing with election. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the
tenets
of Calvinism, mm-hmm. that God has elected certain people for eternal life. And the vast majority of people, he has not. So the U in TULIP, unconditional election.
That's right.
We at GES often address this where we are dealing with Calvinism, and usually we are addressing this issue. Well, if you're not of the elect, then it doesn't matter whether you believe or not, you know, you can't be saved. If God didn't choose you to be saved, then you're just out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack asks the question, if that is true, if you're a Calvinist and you believe that God only chose a small number of people to be saved, and the vast majority of people he has not, then why would you ever have children? And mm-hmm. when we first read that question, we're like, well, what is Jack getting at? And like I said, I'm almost positive here's what he's saying. Let's say you're a Calvinist and you say, you know, just 10% of the people are elect. That means if you have a child.
If you have 10 kids.
Only one of them is going
only
to be
one of them is yeah, been chosen.
Mathematically, yeah. Or the probability of that. Or let's be generous and say, let's say you double that. And so let's say two of your kids. That means of your 10 kids, eight, you know, having them going into it, that they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And obviously, if you have these children, you're going to fall in love with them. You're going to love them the minute you see them. And so what you're saying basically is, I know that I'm producing these children with my wife, and there is a high probability that, let's say, only have two. There's a very high probability that one, at least, and maybe both in the area of probability are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone might say, well, no. If they're born into a Calvinist home, if they're born into a Christian home, then the odds are they're going to believe. But remember, the Calvinist says that's irrelevant.
Yeah, if they're consistent.
Right. If they're consistent, they go, okay, you believe, but how do you know you really believe? Only the elect truly believe,
mm-hmm.
and you can be deceived. Even, you know, you can spend your life in church and say you believe, but you really didn't. Or some Calvinists would say, even if you, quote unquote, truly believe, if you're not of the elect, Christ didn't die for you, so it's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this is a great question that Jack asks. And again, I've never heard it asked in that way when we talk about election. I do know that.
Well, wait, can I pause you just for a second? I do think it's an interesting, I don't know, point of discussion if you were speaking to a Calvinist. Just asking a Calvinist, well, if that is what you believe, that the majority of people are going to hell, if they have children, asking, do you think your children are the elect? And how do you determine that? And then why did you even have a child? Because isn't that an evil thing to do? If you really think about it, it's pretty evil.
Yeah. And I remember some years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, I was visiting a foreign country. And I was talking to a missionary who was a very strong Calvinist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, he believes that there's people elect. And literally while we were talking, and I asked him, I said, well, do you think that only a few are elect? He goes, oh, yes, only a few are elect. And he had two little girls in the living room playing. They were probably like 4 and 2, just cute little girls running around, you know, playing with their dolls. And I said, well, okay, your daughter's there. Do you think that God elected or did not elect them to eternal life before they were born? And he said, yes, I believe that. And he goes, and I said, so you believe that only a few are going to make it into the kingdom? He goes, that's right. So there's a high probability that one or both of your daughters then will not be in the kingdom. And he said, yes.
Oh,
I know. And they have no hope.
Yeah.
You know, they have no hope. And that's Jack's question, right? And it's a really good question. Normally, the reason why this was interesting is normally when we talk about election, it revolves around preaching the gospel. Why should I evangelize if God elected people?
Mm-hmm.
And that's normally the way it is. Now, the Calvinists are going to say something like, well, God has given us the privilege of being involved in this process or something. But logically, anyway, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
If God's chosen certain people to be in the kingdom and the vast majority he has not, and it doesn't matter whether I preach the gospel to them or not, then logically, it doesn't make sense to do that.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
I think it's also, in a way, the small scale of what they actually think of the Lord. That, okay, we ask, why have those children if they're just predetermined to go to hell? Well, in a similar way, our Heavenly Father, right? Why create man if you know that the majority are just going to burn in hell? And they have no opportunity.
They have no opportunity to believe.
That's right.
Or anything else.
That's how they interpret, for example, in Romans when it talks about Esau I hated. They see it as God looks at Esau before he was even born and said, I hate you and you're going to hell no matter what. You know, as heartbreaking as that story is that you just shared, that is the logical conclusion to the Calvinist's argument of election.
Just recently, I read a book. We're about to do a regional in the Dominican Republic, and there's an elder in one of the churches there, and he wrote a book in Spanish on divine election. And the reason he wrote this, he says in the book, is that as a young man, I think he's in his 90s now or close to it, but as a young man, he was taught election, all these things that we're talking about.
Mm.
And he said that's the only option he had. You know, he had the charismatic thing where you lose your salvation. But if you were a non-charismatic, if you were a non-Arminian, then the only option you have is in all the literature they had, because the Calvinists have done such a great job of translating their works into Spanish. That's what he was exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that it never made sense to him. And even though he taught it, he didn't believe it. It was kind of interesting,
yeah.
You know. And one of the things he said is, why should I evangelize then? Why should I do this?
Why should I have children? Like Jack's question.
Yeah. Now, he didn't mention that, but that's a good point.
Great question.
That Jack.
Well, I feel like as we, you know, maybe the last minute or so as we're talking, maybe we should just give a brief answer to what is biblical election then? If it is not, well, first of all, should we have children? Knowing that they still have the opportunity to believe and be in the kingdom. But also, you know, like I mentioned, the passage in Romans with Esau. Does God just look at certain men, the majority of men and women, and just say, yep, I created you so that you'll just burn in.
And I hate you.
And I hate you no matter what you do. Before you were even born, as you were still in your mother's womb, I predetermined that you would burn in the lake of fire forever.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, the free grace answer to that is people do have the ability to believe. God reveals himself to us.
God so loved the world,
right,
that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes.
Right.
So it is a universal
offer. And the unbeliever is able to believe.
That's right.
But when the Bible talks about election, a lot of times it's corporate. The church was elect. The nation of Israel was elect. Or it's for service. Like we were looking at a parable in Matthew 22 where Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. Mm. Few are chosen. Now, the Calvinist is going to say, few are elected. But that parable is talking about rewards. Mm. All believers are called to reign with Christ, to be rewarded in his kingdom, but few are chosen for that privilege, and it's based upon their works. But that's, and in that parable, it's talking about people who are already in the kingdom, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be chosen for this great reward. And mm-hmm. so, election can deal with corporate. It can deal with service, mm-hmm. service in the kingdom. God chooses, or Christ chose the apostles, mm-hmm. not for salvation from hell, but to be apostles right. for that role.
Or mm-hmm. in the case of Esau and Jacob, he chose Jacob to be the nation in which he would bring the Messiah through. And
right. His descendants would be the ones that would bring forth the Christ.
Right.
That's what he chose.
But I also think what's funny about the call and chosen passage there is that the Calvinist gets that backwards.
Right.
Because the Calvinist argues, well, first you're chosen, predetermined before you were even born, and then the Lord calls you to believe.
Right.
But it's very clear in the text, it's first you're called and then you're chosen.
And then you're elect.
That's right. So first right. you're called to follow the Lord in that context, to walk with him as his disciple. And then if you do that faithfully, you will be elected to rule and reign in the kingdom to come.
Or you could even say he calls you to reign with him.
That's right.
And if you live that way, you'll be chosen
that's
for
right.
that.
That's right. right.
We hope that there's no listener who worries, as so many Calvinists do, am I of the elect? Mm-hmm. And Jack's point, are my children of the elect? Imagine living with the horror of that. It's a terrible doctrine that God chooses people and they have no freedom to believe or not believe.
No hope.
Yeah. And just like, well, it is what it is. We hope that no one struggles with that. All who believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life and they know they have it, receive that gift. And don't ever say, well, am I of the elect? Hmm. It's not a biblical question. Well, we hope this has helped. And thanks for the question, Jack. And remember, keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, Revelation 2:11, what is the second death? Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.